Palm Sunday, pastors are kind of struggling. Which themes do I want to preach? Because you have so many themes for Palm Sunday and Holy Week. I mean, do I want to preach about the people shouting for joy? Hosanna, or do I want to focus on washing feet, or prayers, or the Last Supper, or crucifixion? It's really complicated. But while thinking about that, I thought, maybe I want to go more about the meaning of the crucifixion. More about that. During the Lenten season, we have been talking about the people around the cross. And we can't miss the soldiers at the cross, beating Jesus, flogging Jesus. It's interesting that when the four gospel writers, when they tell us about Jesus being flogged, they don't go in graphic detail. It is not like Mel Gibson's film, Passion of the Christ, which spent a lot of time on it. The gospel writers, they simply say, they flogged him, that's it. And then they crucified him, that's it. That's all. But between these two sentences, they spent more time on what's happening at the time. The gospel says, they take Jesus and decide to humiliate him. It's not enough to beat him. It's not enough to crucify him. They want to dehumanize him and beat down his soul. And the gospel writers, they took more time and portion in their writings. The soldiers, would you please lower the volume? Yes. They tried to bring the maximum pain not only to Jesus' body, but also his heart. So they begin mocking him, and they take a crown of thorns. We have them over there. And you remember the king, king was anointed with oil, so they anointed Jesus with their saliva. And they beat him with sticks. And John says, they hit Jesus in the face. And they kneeled before Jesus, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Why? Why did they do this? Did Pontius Pilate order them to do that? No, he didn't do that. Why? And it was not just a couple of soldiers. In the Bible, it says there were one cohort of the soldiers. That means at least 200 or 400 soldiers at the cross, circling this helpless man and trying to destroy his spirit. So we talked a little bit about this one last week. We learned from two people on either side of Jesus Christ that we have a little bit of each of them in us with the crowd of the soldiers. I want to say there is something of the Roman soldiers in us. Today, we see this manifest in how we may make others small to make ourselves feel strong. We find it so often in our world, in bullying and gossiping, and it is also found on the internet and so many other places. The war in Ukraine, it's also explained with this story. only in the States and in Africa, some other places as well. And most of the posting, they are about happily smiling me. Or my wife having ice cream. Or coffee. But I used to post something about justice and human rights, and I got criticism a lot. Even from somebody whom I have no idea who they are. They commented on my post, and sometimes, I don't know how they got my cell phone number, they sent me a text. Interesting. Without any logic. It hurts. It hurts my feeling. And Facebook, I think it's a little bit better, but some other website, it's worse. When you post some religious writing, or human rights, or some justice issue, there will be some people out there, and they are just going to get you down. Interesting. I mean, it doesn't bother me that much. I'm a big boy. I mean, during the week I have a birthday and Isaac calls me, oh, you look like 25. I love you, Isaac. That was about 20 years ago though. But anyway, I'm a big boy. I'm used to do that, so it's fine. And I'm not just talking about cyberbullying. I'm talking about bullying, gossiping, backfiring in our lives. You know, when you are 12 or 13 years old, it hurts. It's a big deal. When you feel small, depressed, frustrated, it's a big deal. And we find so many people depressed and frustrated around us. A friend of mine officiated a funeral of a young man who took his life because he was being bullied by people at the school and on the internet. It was horrible. And that is exactly what's happening at the cross. It happens. It could happen in your workplace. It could happen in many places today. And we might look like the soldiers at the cross. Jesus, he was bullied and picked on. And I want us to understand that he experienced suffering for us so that we might know and understand when we are walking through dark moment, through hell on earth, because of other people bullying and picking on us and saying horrible things, we can say Jesus. He knows. He understands and he walks with us. In the end, he overcame, and we will. So when we find somebody around us who feels like that, we might say, don't give up. Don't give up because of the bully. Do not let those people define who you are. Find the help and talk to people around you who can come along, and I want you to remember Jesus is walking with you. Jesus, he perseveres and triumphs in the end. I'm not a big fan of football, but I love it because you love it, many of you. And I enjoy Super Bowl commercials. And one of the commercials that I like, one of the best one that I think, was Coca-Cola a few years ago. It was about cyberbullying. And I don't know if you remember this or not, so here it is. Let's take a look.
Show cruelty, how have we make mistakes? Don't let me show her.
Problem solved and the world becomes so better. I wish, right? And I think that would be really cool. But you know, it's not Coke that will change the world. It is people, you and me, people of God. And I think of the communion as well, as we share the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and we say, yes. Yes, Lord, I will live my life by your will and by your love. I will live like your will. And what happens when you trust in Christ, we see him as the one who was crucified to demonstrate God's love. Last week I told you, he didn't come to save himself. He came to save you and me. He came to demonstrate God's love by laying down his life and the impact he has on our lives. That can change us from inside out. And he calls us to live as he lives. And the demonstration and the proof of our life, our Christianity, is not how we look or how well we are productive or functioning. It is how well we love one another. That's what Jesus is speaking to us. In our lives, it echoes what Martin Luther King Jr. says. Darkness cannot defeat darkness. Hate cannot defeat hate. Only love can do that. That is exactly what Jesus is showing us. And we are meant to be moved by the sin of our Lord, being spat upon and beaten and humiliated. And we are meant to see he has the strength to persevere through it. And in the end, what we find is the one who mocked him. At the end, we find in our scripture, he said, this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. I want to continue to see what the Roman soldiers did. They took Jesus out and crucified him, and they stripped him and naked him before they crucified him. And what happened next was they took Jesus' clothing and they began to cast a lot. Who's going to get what piece? I mean, which piece of that? Let's think about that. How many clothing did Jesus have? He probably had 5 or 6 of them, right? He had sandals, he had belt, he had inner and outer garment, and at the time, people had a tunic. So that was what the soldiers did next to Jesus, casting lots, next to Jesus dying on the cross. And I find it interesting, all the Gospels, they were talking about that. Soldiers cast lots for Jesus Christ. Why? Why does that matter that all gospel, each one has this story in their life in detail? I think this points out people, we are sometimes unable to see who Jesus is in our very lives. We believe Jesus is God in the flesh, Emmanuel. God came to us on earth, just like us. And from time to time, people ask, you know what, I'm going to believe God if I can see God, if God shows up. Why don't you show me? when Jesus was crucified and God walking in our midst. And the soldiers, they had no idea who he was. And they didn't understand. So they focused on mundane things. All they cared was who's going to get the sandal, who's going to get the belt, and who's going to get the tunic. Tunic might be expensive, but they failed to see the mystery and the wonder of what's happening before their eyes. God has walked in human flesh, and humanity crucified him. You see, if they had understood, they would have paid attention to every single word Jesus spoke. They would have watched every single response Jesus made. Some of them would have fought to bring Jesus down from the cross. But all they could see was a hopeless person dying on the cross. When I think about this, I think about how often we miss the things that are really important in our lives. Every day, we are busy and focused on mundane things, taking care of the bill and the people around us and some other stuff. And sometimes we fail to see the holy, beautiful, and profound ways God has worked in our very lives. But we don't pay enough attention. And this reminds me of a story that you probably have heard before. A few years ago, about a decade ago, one of the great violinists of our time, Joshua Bell, he conducted a little experiment. He took his $4 million violin and he went down to a subway dressed like a normal street performer's clothes, and he began to play Bach with his violin for 45 minutes. And here's the man. You have to pay at least $100 for one ticket to see his play in a concert. Who wouldn't want to hear that? Who wouldn't want to hear that 300-year-old violin played by the master violinist? This is what happened. Let's take a look. $32.17 in his violin case. And only one person, you saw that in the video clip, only one person recognized him. But no one stayed for long. Here's the master violinist playing a masterpiece. No one, if noticed, would stay long. To me, that's the picture of what was happening at the cross. Looking at one person on the cross, or gambling for his clothing, while they are watching with their eyes the single greatest act that God performed to save us. We are often too busy to notice what God is doing. God comes and speak to us in unexpected ways, sometimes through your family, friends, neighbors, and strangers. And we are meant to pay attention to what's happening on the cross and what's happening in our lives. And this is what the entire season of Lent is about. And the season of Lent is about to find what God is doing in our lives. You see, our Sunday school kids, every Sunday we have met this club. Our Sunday school kids, they have their gratitude note. They write down something they feel grateful every week. It could be like a journal. Why don't you try that? We find God's hands, God's blessing every day and write it down. So during the week, I want to encourage you to pay more attention to what the cross means to you and me and what God is doing and speaking to you and me. And finally, we may say, just like the centurion who said,